And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you back to this This Is Why You Don't Have Kids edition in terms of kids with disease-carrying monsters. I go to a first my nephew has a cold, first birthday party over the weekend, and here I am on Wednesday with this horrendous cold, so I apologize in advance. Luke, this is going to be an interesting episode.
It will. You don't sound great, but it's okay. We will push on. Want to again thank our sponsor, the Goal Line Club, for sponsoring this 2018 season of Gopher Gridiron Radio. If you are a Gopher fan, and I don't know why you listen to this podcast, if you are not, I encourage you to check out and support Gopher football by becoming a member of the Goal Line Club today. It's only $100. It's definitely a good way to make sure that you are interacting and giving money that actually goes towards affecting the football program and what PJ Fleck is trying to do here at the University of Minnesota. So check that out at their website, goallineclub.org.
I think we should have quite a bit of people that listen to this podcast that I believe are going to be heading to the GLC tailgate on Friday for the first time. If Twitter and my Gopher Illustrated message board are any indication, there's going to be some fresh faces for what is looking to be a bit of a dreary Friday with the whole hurricane from Mexico that's coming up here, putting moisture into the jet stream. And that's how you look at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think very good chances for rain. So luckily for all of you who signed up when we told you to 2 weeks ago, when it's 45 and drizzly out, you don't have to deal with it. You can go inside, enjoy an open bar, heat, all the amenities of a normal tailgate, but you don't have to worry about the cleanup. So that's pretty nifty, Luke.
It is. Ryan, is this the first Friday? The first Friday Gopher game that you can remember in TCF Bank history? I think it is.
I've been at many a Thursday, many a Saturday, but I believe this could possibly be the first Friday. Now, if it's not, I can assure you the people of Twitter will be sure to let me know that, Ryan, this is the second game. All right.
Well, okay.
Our bad.
That said, this is kind of the Gophers' first foray into Friday night football, all because of BTN and wanting to, you know, increase revenue for that entity that is a part of the Big Ten Conference. So this is their first dip in there. It should be interesting. Indiana at home. Indiana is a 4-4 club on the season. I believe they have one Big Ten win. The Gophers are 3-4 with no Big Ten wins thus far this season. These two teams are very, very equally matched up. It should be a very interesting ball game, very entertaining, because quite frankly, neither defense really seems to impede the other's progress down the field. So lots of points will be scored. I'm excited for this one. I'm not going to lie, Ryan. I am looking forward to it.
This is a draw line in the sand. Step up. Here's your season, Gopher football team. I mean, Rutgers has one Big Ten win. Indiana has one Big Ten win.
Against Rutgers.
And that's against Rutgers. This is an Indiana team on a three-game losing streak. They have to come on a dreary Friday night to TCF Bank Stadium. So if Minnesota wants any shot of going to a bowl game this season, let's hope that whole defensive side of the ball, you're listening, might want to play well. So
yeah,
you look at some of the injuries, Luke, that Minnesota's going to have to deal with that are going to be impacting this game in 48 hours from now. Starting with the quarterback, Zach Anixon, I don't anticipate him playing on Friday night. We had our weekly Fleck press conference on Monday this week instead of Tuesday, so it's been a while since we've had Fleck. You know, by the time the game's going to be going on, it's going to be 4 days from now. But from the Fleck's comments, you can go and look at it on Gopher Illustrated if you want. We have the video there. My inclinations from what Fleck said and the way he phrased it, I'd be very surprised if Zach does play. Now, he had that internal random midsection injury that required him to go to the emergency room during the second half of the game against Nebraska. And just the quick turnaround, and it sounds like Fleck made it known that he's got other injuries he's battling as well. Essentially, he's setting the stage for Tanner Morgan to get his first collegiate start. Now, clearly, Tanner is a little bit more mobile. He's a little bit more elusive. Kirk Shiraka talked about it with the media on Tuesday, that he just adds a little bit of a dimension with his legs that they don't necessarily want Zach to add at this current time. So to me, that says you're going to see more speed option. Just like you saw in the second half against Nebraska, you're going to see a little bit more read option. This is not a good Nebraska defense, or excuse
Indiana.
Me, Indiana defense for that matter, even though Nebraska's wasn't great as well. So I think the other two big notes that we're going to have to watch are running back Shannon Brooks and then defensive tackle O.J. Smith. I'll start with Smith and the fact that he's been in the concussion protocol, as far as we know, for two straight weeks now, and he's missed two straight games. That is a gigantic red flag. We've talked about on this podcast over the years how there's been so many linemen taken out of this program because of concussion issues. You look at Jimmy Jerry. You look at, I believe, Alex Mays had to retire. I believe
Nick Conley was
the late, great Nick Conley was forced to retire because of concussion issues. So O.J. Smith now in the concussion protocol for going on 3 weeks' time. It's a gigantic red flag to me. He was not listed on the depth chart. It also doesn't sound like Antonio Chenault, Minnesota's safety, is going to be out there. So we all are well aware, for all you listeners who listen to this podcast, you're well aware of the issues Minnesota's had in that other safety spot not named Jacob Huff. So it's going to be looking like a lot like true freshman Jordan Howden on Friday night. So the elephant in the room, though, Luke, that we're going to have to discuss is Shannon Brooks going to be back on Friday? Now, PJ Fleck said Monday that Shannon is practicing. And in terms of, we asked what his status was going to be, and Fleck continues to say it's evolving by the day. We'll see what the legal situation ends up being. Well, I mean, we're still here. He hasn't been charged. I believe the U's investigation or somebody's investigation is still ongoing. As far as I know, it hasn't been closed. So are we going to see Shannon Brooks on Friday night? I mean, before I give my thoughts, what do you think? I mean, we've been, what are we now, 10 days away from the arrest. He was not charged. As far as we know, nothing has stemmed from it. So what would be your expert opinion?
You know, I'm looking on my desk for a coin. I'm not seeing one. So
are you going to flip a coin and that's what we're going to go with?
I think we're going to flip a coin here, and heads he plays, tails he doesn't. We have tails he doesn't play. Okay, your opinion, Ryan.
I just think that the way Flex talked about it prior to Nebraska, right after it initially happened, and then especially this week, I'm leaning 65-35 that Shannon Brooks plays on Friday night.
Really?
As far as if no other legal situations come out from this, Minnesota knows that they need to win the game. Shannon's been cleared. He's had 2 weeks of practice now to get right on that knee, to mentally be able to take a hit on that knee, mentally be able to know that it's going to be okay when I actually do take that first hit and get up and everything's fine. And I'd be, ecstatic from it from a Gopher offense side of you. I mean, no one listening to this podcast isn't aware of my current thoughts in the running back situation, and just adding in Shannon Brooks there to get those 25 touches instead of some of the other backs that Minnesota has as options right now. And especially the way Derek and I think you, Luke, believe that this Gopher offensive line has been blocking the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is setting up to be a great bounce-back game for Minnesota's offense, especially if they can find a viable running attack. So Luke's coin says no. My inclinations and feelers make me lean towards yes. But I would imagine we are going to get zero notice up until about 6:15 on Friday night when we look out there. And either Shannon Brooks is getting handoffs and warm-ups or he's not. So it'll be interesting to find out as we get closer to that Friday night game.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think Fleck hasn't really shown his hand. He tends to not like to show his hand. So I think you really could go either way, and I don't think anybody would be surprised whether he plays or not. But as you noted, he could make a meaningful impact on the outcome of the game if he does play. So that will be something to monitor. It'll probably be one of those 60 minutes before game time, everybody will know sort of situations, or maybe not. We'll have to see. So, Ryan, let's get into previewing this game that will be taking place on October 16th at 7 p.m. You can watch it on FS1. Let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. We know that Indiana hasn't been exactly the most stout of defenses. They're giving up 28.8 points a game, about 418 yards of total offense, 259 through the air, 159 on the ground. I wouldn't say that is anything to write home about. I can't say the Gophers can basically argue much better. But this is going to be a game where the Gophers are going to have to score points like any game, because thus far, we talked about it basically from this, from spring practice all the way through until now, like the defense has got to show us something. And the offense, if you're going to win, you got to be able to score points, because right now we can't expect the defense to, you know, put the clamps down. So what are the Gophers going to do on offense?
Well, the question is going to be, how formidable is Indiana's defense? Now, you look at their point totals that they've given up in their last four losses here in Big Ten play. They gave up 35 points, 49 points, 42 points, 33 points. The only game, essentially, that they've been able to stop anyone was Rutgers. I mean, you can kind of throw that out the window considering how much of a dumpster fire Rutgers is. If you don't believe me, Illinois beat Rutgers by 17. Illinois is not a great football team. We'll talk about them more next week, but this is not an Indiana defense that's been necessarily playing well. Now, have they been stacked against some tough competition there with the Michigan State, Ohio State, Iowa, and Penn State? I mean, yeah. I mean, you get three of the top four in the Big Ten East, plus arguably the best team in the Big Ten West right now. But you look at the way Minnesota's offense has been moving the ball into opponent territory the last 2 weeks, and I think you have to feel optimistic that Minnesota's going to come home after two road games, and they're going to be able to finish these drives, because that's the biggest thing for this Gopher team, is how well are they able to finish drives? They've had 10 drives into opponent territory the last 2 weeks that have not resulted in points. Now, you look at this Indiana team defensively in terms of points per scoring opportunity. What does that mean? Essentially, how good Indiana's defense is at finishing drives and not allowing points. Indiana's defense is 118th out of 130 per Football Study Hall, a.k.a. if you get into opponent territory or you get into Indiana territory, they're giving you some kind of points. That's essentially what that means. So when you look at Tanner Morgan, likely, in my opinion, still to be the starting quarterback for Minnesota, how does that change Minnesota's offense? I talked about it a little bit earlier. You're going to see him in the running game a little bit more. You're going to see that speed option. Now, I'd love to see it with Tanner and Shannon, because that defensive end is really going to have to honor that. But in that same respect, I do believe that Indiana is going to be ready for the speed option. Nebraska didn't look ready for it, because it's something that Minnesota hadn't shown essentially outside of one or two plays all season. Now, Minnesota ran it four times successfully last week, where they were able to get, I believe, 35 yards of total offense there. So you're looking at somewhere around 9 yards a carry. Yes, Indiana is going to be ready for that speed option. And you look at the front seven for Indiana in comparison to Nebraska. Nebraska's defensive line was a lot more big bodies up front, the big strong types. Indiana is going to rotate something absurd like 13, 14 guys on their defensive line, which is absurd thinking about if you have 70 plays on defense, you're essentially playing guys 23 to 25 times, and they're going to be fresh. And so you look at a guy like Daniel Falele, and these defensive ends for Indiana are more the speed type instead of the brute type. And that's the kind where I expect Daniel Falele to struggle with early on in his career, is these smaller guys. And how well is he going to be prepared for this speed rush? Because Minnesota's offensive line has taken a step forward in pass protection the last couple weeks, but now they're going to face more of a smaller speed type, where Nebraska and Ohio State were that bigger brute type. And then in the passing game, can Tyler Johnson continue this pace he's been at? Now, he was added to, I believe, the Biletnikoff watch list today. I mean, that essentially should surprise no one considering the stats he's put up in recent games. How can Tanner Morgan and Kirk Shiraka continue to get him the ball in space? Because you saw last week, or you saw 2 weeks ago, Minnesota moves him into the slot a lot. They're able to kind of go against that Ohio State defense there. Last week against Nebraska, they use him as a running back. So what different kind of tips and tricks are they going to do this week to try and continue to get Tyler Johnson the ball? And the other question for me, Luke, is going to be, how does Rashad Bateman, Chris Ottman-Bell, Demetrius Douglas, maybe even a Seth Green target again, back-to-back weeks? I'm not holding my breath, but I'd love to see it. How do those wide receivers two, wide receiver three guys step up? Because I expect very soon here, you're going to see opponents say, okay, we're going to double team, we're going to bracket Tyler Johnson, beat us elsewhere. And that's where the Batemans, the Ottman-Bells, the Seth Greens have to step up and show that they can be a featured receiver as well, Luke.
You know, I think what will be interesting, you know, from the Gopher offense perspective is, I think we're probably going to expect Tanner Morgan, like you noted, But I don't, you know, you bring up the speed option. I'm curious. I don't think you need to run that a ton to be effective in keeping a defense on their toes, right? But I'm interested to see just the variety of approaches they take against this squad, right? Like you said, read option, speed option. We saw a lot of tunnel screen against Nebraska. We've seen some bubble screen this year. I'm just interested to see the diversity at which they feel they, because by far Morgan is the more athletic of the quarterbacks. He maybe doesn't have quite the arm strength. So I'm curious to see how he is used in this offense and how much more diverse it might be able to be just because of his wheels.
I 100% agree. Now, again, this Indiana defense isn't exactly the 85 Bears. So I think Minnesota's going to be able to put up points. The question is going to be, can this Gopher offense start a little bit hotter than what they've been in recent weeks? And if they don't, is it going to be another boat race by the opposing offense against this Gopher defense?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Like, I think that they've been, you know, from a game script perspective, they've really basically play their game script outside of maybe the two non-conference games that were not Fresno State?
I mean, not essentially since, I mean, they haven't had a chance here in Big Ten play.
Exactly.
When you look at, we continue to talk about game script, folks. And Minnesota needs to be playing in neutral or positive game scripts. Now, what does that mean? A neutral game script somewhere between your 7 points ahead, 7 points behind, where you can still run your offense. A positive game script is your 7+ points ahead, where you can really continue to establish everything on the ground. Well, you look at the last 4 weeks, 4 losses. Essentially, the entire second half, Minnesota has been down 14+ points, and it's not conducive to trying to establish what seemingly Minnesota's done best of late, and that's run block. So now Minnesota gets to come home, 2 straight road games, it's a Friday night game. If they're going to be able to stand up in this game, I mean, for Minnesota's, I mean, it's like a correlation, Luke, where if Minnesota's offense is going to play well, they're going to need help from their defense, to where if their first 2 drives only result in 3 points, well, if Indiana's result in 14, we're already down 11, and you can't exactly start establishing the run again. So this Gopher offense, for them to be successful on Saturday, they're going to need something resembling a quote-unquote defense on that other side of the field in TCF Bank Stadium.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the defense, because I think this is where the game is won or lost on either for either squad, right? Neither defense is very good. But let's take a quick look at Indiana's offense. They're averaging 26.4 points per game on the ground. They're averaging, 418 yards of total offense, 259 in passing, 159 on the ground. I totally screwed that up earlier, so sorry. I read the wrong stat.
You're forgiven.
Yeah, you can look it up. It's all over the place. But, you know, this Gopher defense, no one's going to sugarcoat it. Like, they're not good. They have not been good. They're averaging 400 yards of total offense on the season. They haven't really had, if they've had any success, it's maybe been stopping the run, but that's been really a couple times. Like they don't really have a strength outside of maybe saying that Carter Coughlin is averaging effectively a sack a game. Like, they don't have a strength. And they need to find some sort of identity. And quite frankly, this game is won or lost whether or not they can make stops. That's just as simple as it gets.
I don't know that I really need to say much more. I mean, it's about as simple as it gets. I mean, if you want some specific names to watch for in this Indiana offense, their quarterback, Peyton Ramsey, a 6'2" sophomore, completing 68% of his passes so far this season, 13-8 touchdown interception ratio. I believe he's averaging around 300 passing yards a game in the Big Ten. So you look at, where is this offense going to beat this Gopher defense this week? Well, it looks like it's going to be through the air this week. Now, I will mention that Indiana's got a freshman running back by the name of Stevie Scott, someone that the Gophers recruited somewhat out of high school. They offered him, but they never really, in my opinion, made a significant push for him. He's out of Syracuse, New York, ends up going to Indiana. He had 3 touchdowns last week. He's averaging 5 yards a carry on 141 attempts this year. He is a big, big back, legitimately 6'2", 240 pounds. Now, that's what your north and south runner should look like. If you're going to be a power back in the Big Ten, 6'2", 240, yeah, he's a load. Someone that Minnesota's going to have to figure out how to stop on the ground. Like I said last week against Penn State, I believe he had 3 rushing touchdowns. Now, if you want to look at some of the names that are going to be catching passes from Peyton Ramsey, you're looking at guys like G'Shawn Harris, Donovan Hale, Luke Timian, Nick Westbrook. These are guys that, I mean, you look at, Luke, you look at this passing tree for Peyton Ramsey to throw to. They have 7 guys on that passing tree who have 20-plus catches. So yeah, it's not like there's a Tyler Johnson that they just throw the ball to and only to. There's 7 different guys on this team that have 25-plus targets. There's 7 guys on this team that have 20-plus catches. So when you look at this Gopher secondary that's been reeling for 4 straight weeks, sitting here shaking my head thinking, well, let's hope they don't play off coverage, cover 6 the entire game again so they can just pick them apart. For those of you who did not watch my Rob Smith interview, I just want you to know, number one, it's on Gopher Illustrated. I think it's worth checking out what the defensive coordinator talked about. But I did ask him, hey, off coverage, not been great. Any thoughts to changing it? He kind of looks at me, says, we'll see. That's all he said.
Yeah.
Shortest answer of the entire press conference, but had to ask the question. So hopefully Minnesota plays something resembling press man. You know, again, my biggest gripe with the defense, Luke, we voiced it last week, you, me, and Derek Burns, is do something different. I've seen the same thing. I've seen every team expose it. Now, if you play press man and just some different coverages, then, Rob Smith, you can put your palms in the sky and say, well, at least I tried. Because yeah, I'm tired of seeing the same thing over and over again, and we'll get to that in my keys to the game.
Well, I mean, to that point, right, this is an Indiana team that, to my knowledge, in watching them in limited fashion, they throw the ball a lot east-west. They're going to try to beat you side-to-side. They're not going to necessarily go deep a ton. They run.
And that's the struggle.
Right.
And that's the struggle immensely for this Gopher defense,
right,
is if your corners are 8 yards off, your safeties are 12 yards off, here come the hitches, the slants, the ins, the outs.
Yep.
It's going to be 2nd and 4, first down. 2nd and 3, first down. 2nd and 4, 2nd and 5, first mm-hmm. down.
So
you have to just change up your coverages, man.
Well, I mean, to that point, like, the number of big plays that the Gophers have been giving up, you noted, was something like, I don't know, 20.
34.
Yeah, 34.
34 like, chunk plays.
What? It can't get much worse if you play press man, right? So if you can find a way, you know, to press up and force a 3 and out or, you know, stop a drive, and you still are going to give up the same number of chunk plays, like, I don't know, it might be worth it. Statistically, it really might be to your benefit to try to force one more, you know, punt instead of these long, efficient drives I don't know, they can't stop anyone is basically what we've seen. So they need to find a way to stop someone. That's just the fact of the matter if they're going to win this game.
It's an elite take. Now, you want to get into our final word from our sponsor before we get into the keys to the game?
Yes. So Goal Line Club, again, we just want to highlight that you know, the season is nearing an end. We're moving into November. Purdue comes to town. This is going to be another chilly game. I want to encourage those that are going to be attending, hey, check out the Goal Line Club's tailgate again. Your opportunity to sign up will be until November 7th at 1 p.m., $35 for those that are members, $45 for those that are not members. Again, this gets you a meal ticket, unlimited drinks. Check it out. It's fun. If you got kids, it's very kid friendly. Absolutely. Make sure that you bring them. If they're between the ages of, I believe, 11 and 20, they pay their age at the door. So that's a good opportunity. Also want to highlight the tunnel team. This is an opportunity for folks to interact with the team before the game as they're coming onto the field. Definitely an experience for the youngsters that they might very much enjoy. Again, also game previews. Those you'll have to sign up for by 1 p.m. on November 6th. All of this you can check out on goalineclub.org.
Well, I suppose I should probably get in depth on this game and make people feel bad.
That's terrible.
Every time I get into my keys of the game of late, I get text messages saying, wow, you sound dreadful. Way to be optimistic on this team.
Yeah.
I'll continue to say, I have not been this optimistic about a Gopher offense, I think, in the 8 years I've covered the team. Like, you look at 2019, you look at even Friday night if they get Shannon Brooks back. Again, I continue to say, 2019, you have your entire team back, other than 2 offensive linemen, of which you're going to replace with Curtis Dunlap and likely a junior college offensive tackle that was able to redshirt. And then you look at 2020, every single one of those players is back outside of the running backs, of which they should have had time to redshirt, add speed, add agility, add the needed strength that's going to be needed. I continue to say this Gopher offense has a future ahead of it. Now the defense. Yikes.
Yeah, that's where we have our concerns. So for these keys to the game, let's take a look at – before we get into the keys to the game, I'm sorry. Let's take a look at this spread. It's 2.5 points in favor of Indiana right now. On the season, Indiana is 3-5 against the spread. The Gophers are 4-3 against the spread. Again, this game is on FS1. It is a Friday night game, so if you need to remind yourself, make sure you mark it on your calendar, 7 p.m. on October 16th. Let's take a quick look at the weather before I gets to his keys. This game is probably going to be a little bit rainy. Around kickoff time, there's an 80% chance of rain. That dramatically drops as the night goes on. Looks like it'll be very light rain, though, with very limited wind. Temperatures probably somewhere hovering around the lower 40s, maybe 45 by kickoff, hovering down to, you know, the low 40s, about 40, 41 by the time of the game concludes. So it's going to be a cool night. Make sure you're prepared for at least some wet as well, and it should make for interesting playing conditions for some Friday night football, Ryan.
It certainly should. So if you're going to be coming out on Friday night, you know this is likely going to be misty, mid-40s. There shouldn't be a lot of wind, which is the big key in a game like this. Now, rain doesn't deter me from a passing game at all. The wind would. I mean, you saw over the weekend in the NFL a lot of spots where there was a lot of wind, and I believe 4 of the 5 games that saw wind hit the under. Well, I don't, Luke, did you say what the over-under in this game was?
It's the over-under. I'm sorry, I did not say what the over-under is. It's 54.
Yeah, so Vegas is along the same lines that I am. There's going to be a lot of points scored on Friday night. So my first key to the game, find anything resembling an air quotes defense for Minnesota. Because if Minnesota's defense doesn't show up for the fifth straight week, Indiana's going to win. This isn't rocket science. Now, I was telling Luke about some of these stats in the pre-production meeting, but Luke, let's try it again. Here are Minnesota's defensive ranks in Big Ten play out of 14 teams. Where are they in total defense?
They're probably 13.
They are 13th. They're giving up 503 yards a game. Only team that's worse, Illinois. Number two. Yards per play. Where is Minnesota's defense in the Big Ten ranks?
Oh, man, they had 34 chunk plays. I'll go with 14.
They are 14th. They are giving up 7.2 yards per play in the Big Ten. Pass defense efficiency. Essentially, you know, I like to use this stat to look at how efficient Minnesota's pass defense has been. It's in the name. Where is Minnesota out of 14 Big Ten teams?
Go with 12.
They are 14th. They are dead last. Oh. They are giving up 71% of the passes completed against their defense with 11 touchdowns against them and one interception on 127 attempts. Let's continue to make this game go. Where are they in rush defense?
Boy. You know, they had a couple good games, but they also had a couple dreadful games. Let's go with 11th.
They are 13th. The only team that is worse is Illinois. Minnesota's giving up 5.9 yards a carry and 224 rushing yards a game. It is kind of mind-boggling to think that Minnesota held running backs against Iowa and Ohio State under 100 yards, folks, and Minnesota's still 13th. That is very much mind-boggling. Scoring defense. Where is Minnesota in the Big Ten ranks?
Boy, they have to be last.
They are 13th. They're giving up 43.3 points per game. Illinois is the only team that's worse. Minnesota's next opponent at 43.8. Three left, folks. Three left for you guys playing at home. Where is Minnesota in interceptions?
Oh, they got to be 13.
They are tied for last. So I guess tied for 13th with one. Third down conversion rate. At what percentage clip are teams converting against Minnesota's defense, Luke, in Big Ten play, and where does it rank?
Okay, here's some logic behind this one. I think that they're probably okay just from the standpoint of they don't get to a lot of third downs. So I'll go with 9th.
They are 13th. They are still giving up over 50% of a third, 50% of third downs.
That is brutal.
9, to be specific, have been converted against this Gopher defense. And the final one we'll look at and maybe the most important one to me, where does Minnesota's defense rank in turnovers forced in Big Ten play?
I'll go 13th because it feels like everything's been 13th.
It is tied for 13th, a.k.a. tied for last. They have forced 3 turnovers in 4 Big Ten games. That is the worst in the Big Ten. So what does this all mean, folks? It means what you already know. It's been a complete dumpster fire. They'll be facing an Indiana offense that's been pretty prolific through the air. In Minnesota's last 3 games, Luke, opposing quarterbacks have been able to throw for 334 yards a game while completing over 72% of their passes, over 3 passing touchdowns a game. And on those 127 attempts against them, just 1 interception. So that's absolutely yikes territory. Peyton Ramsey, the Indiana quarterback, is 2nd in all the Big Ten with completion percentage at 66.7% of his passes being completed. So I'd love to see for Indiana, you know, if you're Indiana, you'd like to see what they do in terms of what Nebraska did last week, dink and dunk. If Minnesota continues to play off coverage for the 4th straight game, Indiana will dink and dunk its way down the field. Indiana's offense more resembles Nebraska and Maryland in the aspect of a lot of shotgun, in the aspect of a lot more motion out of, you know, shotgun and pistol looks. And that should be extremely worrisome to you because those two teams eviscerated this run defense. So the question is going to be, what adjustments, if at all, will defensive coordinator Rob Smith make? Will the Gopher secondary finally stop playing their corners 8 yards off, safeties 12 yards off, in cover 6? Or will teams continue to dink and dunk their way down the field, running towards the sidelines as well in the run game, knowing that Minnesota's defensive backs are already 10 yards down the field? And the other big question mark to me is, can these linebackers, Rob Smith's position group of Blake Cashman, Thomas Barber, and Kamal Martin, play any faster and stop thinking out there, and will they know what their keys are? Because I've mentioned it many a time in this podcast already, this is a draw a line in the sand type of game for Minnesota. Here's your season. Here it is, Gopher defense. If you have any aspirations of a bowl game, you need to show up on Friday night and figure out how to slow down an Indiana offense that has put up some points, but they're also on a 3-game losing streak. If Minnesota's defense does not do that, Luke, I expect the Friday night faithful to really let Rob Smith know what they think about this Gopher defense. So my number 2 key to the game, the offense has to finish drives. Now, Minnesota offensively ranks as the 121st team out of 130 FBS teams in points per scoring opportunity, a.k.a. finishing drives. So they're a bottom 10 team there. If you look at their most recent history, 10 different drives in the last 2 weeks have gone into opponent territory, and that has resulted in 0 Gopher points. You've had 3 interceptions, 2 punts, 2 missed field goals, 2 turnovers on down, and a fumble. Now, absolutely context is needed here because Minnesota's turnover on down opportunities should have been field goals, but the defense had put the offense in double-digit situations where kicking a field goal down 21 doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we don't play for moral victories. We play for more point victories. So 2 of the interceptions also came off deflected passes. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure why Minnesota's punting from opponent territory when in both situations they were down double-digit points, but here we are. So for as bad as Minnesota's offense has been at finishing drives of late, Indiana's defense has been keeping right up with them as Indiana, as I mentioned earlier, ranks as a bottom 15 unit in points per scoring opportunity, a.k.a. allowing offenses to finish drives. So in a movable – what's the saying? In a movable – force meets a movable object? Or am I, how badly did I screw that up?
I don't know. I'm not even.
Well, either way, here we are. So, AKA, Minnesota's offense sucks at finishing drives. Illinois' defense sucks at preventing teams to finish drives. So, it's going to be a battle of wills on Friday night. Now, Minnesota's offense has shown progress the last few weeks. Their offensive line has been much better, their wide receivers have been much better. But now with Tanner Morgan likely calling the signals, the Gophers are going to need him to get these drives that go into opponent territory. They're going to have to be able to put up points for a defense who's been an absolute sieve, especially in the big play department. So the offense is going to need to get points early to keep things competitive. Then finally, my last key to the game.
You're going to make it.
Let's look at Minnesota's 3 wins. Okay. They're plus 2 in the take give.
Yep.
Look at their 4 losses. They're minus 8. Doesn't take a genius to figure out that if your defense is enforcing turnovers, 3 total in four Big Ten games and your offense is giving it away. 10 total turnovers from Minnesota's offense so far in Big Ten play. It's extremely tough to win football games. It also doesn't help that turnovers are more than likely explosive plays. And as we've noted on this podcast religiously, Minnesota's defense in Big Ten play has given up 34 different 15-plus yard plays, one more than the subsequent week before them, including a season-high 10 against Nebraska last week. So if Minnesota's defense can't figure out how to stop the big plays, if Minnesota's defense can't figure out how to force multiple turnovers on Friday, well, folks, it's going to be a long night at TCF Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well. We'll say something's got to give in this game, and the Gopher defense has to show up. So I will get to my prediction. I will basically ignore all logic that Ryan has laid out so eloquently for us, and I will pick the Gophers to win. I'm going to also take the over on the point spread, or sorry, I'm going to take the over on the over-under. So I will go with 45 to...
Jesus.
Are you kidding? Neither of these teams...
45 to, like, what are you going to do, 45, 38? What is this?
Yeah, I was going to do 45, 38 exactly.
Jiminy crickets. Well,
I hope you're starting
Tyler Johnson in your fantasy football league. and I hope you're starting Tanner Morgan, because, Lord almighty, if Minnesota's putting up 45 points. I mean, in all reality, Luke,
I think that's what it's going to take.
I mean, you and I both have Indiana's point total at 38, and I'm not sure how anyone can disagree with that, considering that would be under the season average in Big Ten play. But my prediction would be, I'm not sure how you can really pick Minnesota going forward, a.k.a. Well, I guess you could pick them against Illinois, but just because Illinois in year three under Levy Smith has been just a dumpster fire. But I don't know how you can pick Minnesota going forward with any kind of comparable team. Now, what do the stats say or in terms of the advanced stats? Now, I believe you told me ESPN's FEI has Minnesota winning this game 57% of the time. I know that S&P yep. Plus from Football Study Hall has Minnesota winning this game 55% of the time. So in theory, it is a pick 'em. And Vegas, I believe, has them at a pick 'em, as it's a 2.5-point spread, I believe. That's what Luke said.
Yep.
But until we can see anything resembling something called a defense, which has been MIA on a milk carton for the last 4 weeks for Minnesota, it's tough to pick them. I mean, this offense with all underclassmen, the way they have it currently constructed with all these underclassmen, isn't designed right now to play numerous games from negative game scripts and just pass the ball. But I mentioned it earlier, Friday night is the season-defining game for the Gopher team. If you win this game, you will have some kind of momentum going into Illinois. You'll likely win that game. You're at 5 wins with 3 games left, including 2 home games against a white-hot Purdue team that's looking like they're going to put up 50 at TCF Bank Stadium. But more importantly, a Northwestern team that has won, I think, 3 or 4 Big Ten games. But I still have no idea what Big Ten team or what Northwestern team is going to show up. And I believe as we sit here today, Football Study Hall has Minnesota beating. Beating. Yes, you heard that right. Northwestern, as we currently sit here today. But if you have any hopes of getting to a bowl game, you have to win on Friday night. You've lost 4 straight. Indiana's lost 4 of their last 5, including 3 straight. In this matchup, you look at essentially across the board is very, very close. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any defense that this I don't have any confidence that this defense can pull it together. So the Hoosiers continue the Gophers' downhill spiral. The Gopher faithful on Friday night voice their concerns with their boisterous boos down at upon TCF Bank Stadium. I have Indiana 38, Minnesota 28. Now, Minnesota, in all reality, Luke, as you just mentioned in your prediction, is going to have to score 35-plus. And I just don't think that it's currently constructed to be that. This offense isn't constructed to put up 31, 35, 38, 41 points. And so that's where you're going to have to look at this Gopher defense and say, guys, if we can't pull it together and we're down 14-3 midway through the second quarter, I mean, you just got to find something. This defense has to find some turnovers. Someone named Carter Coughlin, who leads the Big Ten in sacks, by the way, has to be getting some help from someone. So I'll continue with that prediction, Luke. 38, Indiana, 28, Minnesota.
All right, we want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. If you enjoy the podcast, do rate and review on whatever podcast aggregating app that you use. Additionally, you know, check out the Goal Line Club's website at goalineclub.org. We again thank you for listening, and go Gophers.